Welcome to Crooked Stories Theater, where each week we bring you strange and quirky tales, stories with a small twist, an odd setting, a unique character. It could be a drama, a light horror, a sitcom, really any kind of story, as long as it's just a bit crooked. Today we're proud to introduce our very first project, an 8-part supernatural Western drama. We present Devil's Due, Episode 1, A Gambler's Call.
The life of a gambler was nomadic in nature. Stay in one place too long and one of two things happened. Either the games dried up or tempers flared. Neither were good for the pocketbook, and no one could argue the job was good for your personal life. Wall wasn't exactly sure then why young Nathan had fought so hard to ride with the worn-out card player. No one chooses this life. It just happens to you. Wall wanted the company, though. So, after much hounding, he'd finally said yes. Now, as the pair rode to the next town for the next game, Walt found himself questioning that decision with a growing irritation.
Hey, listen, can we just maybe for a minute not talk?
Yes, sir. What does it feel like to shoot someone?
What? What is it that you think I do?
I just think, as a professional gambler, you probably get in a lot of trouble.
Oh, if you think I brought you out here to teach you to kill... Look, I take people's money, not their lives. It's an honest living.
Yes, sir.
And stop with the sir thing. You say sir, people think I got money. Now I gotta worry about protecting my money when I should be concentrating on gathering theirs.
Yes, sir.
Walt and Nathan both flinched at the sound, though both quickly realized it had come from beyond a nearby rise.
Ain't no reason to make so much noise. It's just a robin.
Walt and Nathan dismounted, peeked over to see two masked men, guns in hand, accosting a couple standing outside a nearby stagecoach. No doubt the shot had been a warning. Walt sized up the bandits immediately. Not as dumb as they looked, he thought, but only because they looked so dumb. Still, it was a dangerous situation. Maybe even more so, given their deficiencies.
Money, jewelry, anything valuable. Like that ring on your wife's pretty little finger.
Please, that was my mother's ring. Hers before that. It's my last memory.
Come on, fellas. There's no need for nothing like that.
Y'all are evil men.
Shush, or I'll put you out too.
Walt and Nathan watched as Dirk pressed a gun to the woman's temple.
We have to help them.
Not our fight.
We should do something.
If you're telling me you can make a shot from this distance, we'll jump in. But I'm telling you, if you're counting on me to make the shot, I'm just as likely to kill her than to save her.
The men peeked back over the hill. They watched as the two bandits mounted up and rode away.
Let's go. Hurry.
Wait, but you said...
Oh, I didn't say we wouldn't do anything. I said it wasn't our fight. Well, come on now, mount up, and let's go. Get on.
They kept their distance as night fell, tracking them to the tiny town of Ellsworth. Appropriate, Walt thought, as that town had earned the reputation as the wickedest cattle town in Kansas. A reputation that gave Walt hope for a good night of poker, in addition to the business at hand. They watched as the men tied up their horses outside the saloon and shuffled inside.
Maybe we should have stayed to help that woman and her husband.
You approached me, remember? Said you wanted to learn how this was done. Well, this is how it's done, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Those men, they aren't the banking type. They got money. They're gonna spend it. I suspect they'll go upstairs to the ladies first. That'll give us time to set up. Remember, tonight's about learning for you. Head down, mouth shut. You'll be in the game. Observation only. You don't win, you don't lose. Play it right down the middle.
You sure they'll play?
They'll play.
At our table?
I'll see to that.
Like any other saloon in any other town, the piano, slightly out of tune and playing endless, unnerving, overly happy ditties, competed with the laughter and professional flirting as women in frilly clothes worked to fill the empty beds upstairs. Across the room, whiskey flowed as the bartender fought to keep up with the unquenched thirst for escape, the clinking of glass adding to the night's sinful symphony. Walt would not allow the distractions. He was on the job now, and this was his office.
So where do we sit?
Back to the wall if you can. Best to keep the action in front of you. But we sit where the money is. There, in the middle. Follow my lead.
Wasn't long before the money flowed Walt's direction. And as Walt predicted, it wasn't long before the two men sauntered downstairs. He was right. Nathan couldn't contain his smile, a move that was quickly rewarded with a kick under the table.
One more hand, fellas.
Walt pushed all his cash into the center. It was a bold move designed to get the attention of two men. One hand and one win later, Walt stood, very publicly counting his fresh one wad of cash.
Haven't had a run of luck like that since that night in Mississippi.
It was amateur night in the saloon, and Walt was the star. One man, though, got the message that Walt was sending.
Well, surely you've got more in you tonight, old man.
It was the first close-up look Walt got of them. Marvin was better looking than Dirk, Walt thought, but only because he wore his hat so low. Dirk himself was a skinny man, his face as twisted as his teeth. Walt guessed that Marvin was the smarter of the two, though he also suspected that particular bar was very easily cleared.
I suppose I could handle another hand or two.
The men settled back around the table, though Dirk chose a seat at the bar instead.
What's your name?
Marvin.
Pleased to meet you, Marvin. I'm Walt. This here's my apprentice, Nathan.
Apprentice?
Yep. Finance, banking and the such. Money men here to blow off a little steam.
I don't have me in a apprentice or nothing, but I won't mind helping you out with your money.
Marvin smiled. He was less clever than he thought, but Walt could work with that. Walt laid his cash back on the table, and the game was on.
Five-card draw?
Nathan was out of the game quickly. Walt had set him up with a small amount of cash, and luck wasn't going his way. In fact, luck wasn't going Walt's way either. He hadn't taken a shellacking this bad since Eudora a couple of years back. Though Walt was beginning to suspect this one wasn't as legitimate as that other one had been.
I'll take two.
Walt checked his cards. Then as casually as he could, he checked over his shoulder to the bar. Sure enough, Dirk spun away. Marvin didn't see the exchange, but Nathan sure did. His eyebrows raised, a move that said, what are you going to do about it? Losing was one thing. Cheated out of your money was another. As casually as he could, Walt slid his hand to his waist and nestled his fingers around the gun's handle.
Marvin, I believe we've got something to discuss.
Everybody's eyes swung around, only not to Walt and not to Marvin. Instead, everyone stared at the odd man now standing just inside the saloon entrance. Walt was the last to look up. There, the most unusual sight Walt had seen in years, stood a preacher, his collar closer to dirt brown than white, his bony fingers clutching a large burlap sack. He stared at the scoundrels before him, his face wrinkled with judgment, and Walt thought, just a tinge of joy. Walt watched as the preacher slowly shuffled to the bar.
The treacherous and the lecherous shall go to hell, lest they be saved first.
His voice demanded attention, though he already had all of it. Reaching the bar, he extended the burlap sack, heavy with coins, to the bartender. It wasn't an offer. It was a request. A demand, really. The bartender dropped in a few coins, but the preacher held his position, sack open, extended to the sinner before him. The bartender, with no other choice, obliged with several more coins. Walt leaned into his protege and whispered,
"I'll handle this one."
The preacher worked his way along the length of the bar, fresh coins landing with a satisfying tink as they settled against those already extracted.
For deeds done, or about to be done.
The piano player, the frilly ladies, the ranchers, and the rest each calculated the cost of their sins and paid the price.
My last dollar.
He turned for Walt's table, the center of the room, and now the center of attention.
Such a productive table.
He extended the bag to Nathan, whose eyes were wide with fright.
Sorry to say the young man's dry. That one there, though, he's flush.
No, sir. I mean, I've got this small stack here, but that's everything I have. Really, a man's gotta eat.
The Lord will provide, if only you have faith. Do you have faith?
Marvin pushed a couple of coins to the preacher. The preacher's attention turned to Walt.
I don't believe I'm inclined to give.
The preacher reached for Walt's stack of cash, but Walt quickly slammed his hand on the table. The preacher leaned in, whispered in Walt's ear,
"There are them that give, them that take, but the devil always gets his due."
Walt turned to meet the preacher's gaze.
"He'll have to be satisfied with just one."
"You can't outrun it, what you've done. It'll be a much higher price someday. Maybe soon."
With that, the preacher shuffled away, climbed the stairs, and disappeared down the upstairs hall. Slowly, the saloon spun back to life. Walt's mind raced. A new plan was forming. He turned back to Marvin, their game still at hand.
"I believe I'll go all in."
Marvin smiled as he laid his cards on the table.
"You've got an angel on your shoulder tonight, Marvin."
"Yes, sir, I say I do."
Marvin gathered his money and prepared to leave. Walt, though, had one last detail to clear before he could turn his full attention to new business.
"One more?"
"Well, you don't have any money."
Walt pulled a pocket watch from his vest and set it on the table.
"It was my father's. Gave it to me when I was 12. Right before he died. You and me. One hand. My watch against that ring in your pocket."
"How did you know about
it?" "You in or are you out?"
"Well, I've always wanted a pocket watch."
Next, on Devil's Due.
Walt pulled a pistol from its holster, held it up to his temple.
"No, what are you?"
"I need you boys to help me nip that big bag of shame he carries."
"They're going to betray you, like you did me."
"We ain't got no more in me, Marv."
Episode 2, The Serpent. Available now on Crooked Stories Theater. If you enjoy the program and wish to support our efforts, consider donating or subscribing, or simply just help us spread the word. We also invite you to visit crookedstories.com, where you'll find more about the team behind Devil's Due, as well as Crooked Stories plan for future projects. For now, thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again soon.